prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpets sound. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul, 10 November 2020. Welcome to tonight's program. So glad you're with us. And boy, do I mean that. It's an honor to have you all come join us night after night. And to know people are listening to us overseas and around the world. And it's such a humbling experience. Listen, I know me better than most of y'all do. And I realize I'm not the brightest bulb in the house, but I appreciate you joining us and honor us with the company. And I hope we're doing something to bless you, maybe teach you something and show you some things that we need to see in this world. If there's a special guest tonight, I'd like to mention one thing. We are going to be starting church services now. You know, we have church services on first and third Saturdays. We generally start at 11:30 a.m. Eastern. We're going to start at 10:30, starting on the 21st, at 10:30, for special reasons. We're going to do something we've never done before. We're going to have prayer requests. Y'all can join right in and call in and have prayer requests. We're going to have prayer live. We're going to have a worship time and service. Then we'll go into current events and Bible studies. So we're going to have a three-hour service starting on the 21st at 10:30 a.m., 10:30 to about 20 after. We're going to have a worship service and prayer request time. At 11:30, we're going to go into current events, and 1 o'clock, into Bible study. So I hope you will join us, and we'll give you, of course, all details on that later on whenever we get together and tell you what time we're going to be. And what, for sure, 21st is planned, weather permitting. So I don't want to let you know that. So starting on the 21st, 10:30 a.m. Eastern, when we'll start having services and let y'all invite y'all in for prayer services, prayer requests, whatever. I think it's going to be a very wonderful extension to our worship service. I really do. Our guest tonight was sent down to me a recommendation from a friend of mine up in Michigan named Rod Romine. Rod knows this young lady very well. Her name is Catherine Henry. She is truly a constitutional lawyer in Michigan. And this woman has got more brass than a spittoon. She takes a stand for what she knows is right, and she doesn't back up. And I admire her for that. Now, before we get into what we're going to talk about tonight, I want Catherine to come on board and tell us a little bit about herself. Catherine, are you there?
Yes, I am.
It's good to have you, honey. And I know you're busy. I know you're swamped. Anyone who does what you do with the zeal you have has to be covered up with requests for people that need help everywhere. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes, absolutely.
I have no doubt. No doubt. But before we get into the program, now I want you to make yourself at home, sweetheart. Make yourself at home. Enjoy yourself. Just sit down and get you a glass of tea and share your thoughts with everybody out here tonight. We're talking to people all over the world. I want you to share what's on your heart, as I know you will, and speak from what the Lord gives you to say. Before we get into what you do and what you're doing, tell the folks a little bit about Catherine, who she is and what you've done and why she got started and what you're doing now.
Well, I am, first of all, I'm a Christian. I'm a wife and a mother. I have four kids, Our oldest is a college sophomore, and our youngest is a first grader.
So, wow.
We have two high school seniors that are in between there. And I started working in the legal field in Minnesota. I was an attorney there, and I moved to Michigan about 12 years ago or so, and became licensed here and opened my own practice and started doing all kinds of, you know, everyday legal work. So everything from family law to, you know, bankruptcies and contracts and real estate. At some point, I was called to run for state rep, you know, several years back, and I didn't win. And my husband and I kind of scratched our heads, like, well, why on earth were you called to run? Because we both knew that God was calling me to run for state rep, but we just couldn't figure out, you know, why I would be called to run and then to not win. So, at any rate, we prayed about it and we thought about it, and I said, well, you know, all those topics, those issues, those kinds of things that I was talking about for that whole year running in that race and getting to, you know, set myself apart from all the other candidates in the race, those are the things I think I'm supposed to be really focusing on. So I kind of changed my practice a bit and went, kind of focused a little bit more. And as far as legal work, I got to the point where most of the work I was doing was actually done for a nonprofit organization that fights for constitutional issues and Christian liberties and things like that. And and I've done some other legal work on my own with the same kinds of purposes in mind. And then COVID happened. And I knew, you know, we live in Michigan, and I knew the day that our governor announced March 13th at 11:15 p.m., March 12th at 11:15 p.m., it was a Thursday night, and she was announcing that starting on Monday, the following Monday, she was going to close schools for 3 weeks. I knew that was just the beginning, that we were nowhere near seeing the whole problem. And I knew I had to do something. So I just kind of was more quiet and in the background and patient. And then as the weeks went on, I would get more and more concerned with more regulations and more rules and more executive orders and watching our government officials just sitting by in the sidelines, you know, state reps and state senators and things like that, just kind of twiddling their thumbs and going, oh, what's the governor going to do now? It's like, what are you guys doing?
Kath, I'm going to interrupt you, but I said this on another radio show today. The governor does not have the authority to tell people to close down the businesses, to stay home, or anything else to do with private life. That is not in their sphere of authority. But and you're right, the legislators in our state basically did the same thing. They sat back and did nothing. We had one or two people stand up and say, this isn't right. But overall, they all just shut up and sit down like good little slaves, and so did most of the state. Now, that is absolutely absurd, Catherine. They don't have the authority to do that, but if we allow them to do that, then we offer them the authority to do that by our own volition and our own cowardliness, to tell you the truth. But you go ahead.
Yep. Yeah, no, I feel the same way. And so it would start with emails to all the state legislators that I knew, because, of course, I ran years ago when many of them were first running. So I know a lot of them personally, and texting them or calling them or emailing them, reaching out and explaining, you know, ways that they can address things, but definitely not to vote to give her any extension on her emergency powers, our governor, that is, how we can, you know, try to move together, you know, in smart ways, but without government telling us what to do with our every move. And so a lot of that became, you know, I just kind of made assumptions, I guess, that people really understood that or people could see that. And I didn't realize what a journey I was embarking upon to truly educate people, and that so many people really didn't know. And there so many more people are still under the impression whatever the government says is the way that it goes. Like, in, well, you know, you just...
We've been trained that way for longer than I've been alive, and shorty longer you've been alive. I mean, we have been a socialistic nation. I don't people want to hear that, but it doesn't change the fact. We started in socialism big time under Franklin Roosevelt. But we've been a socialistic nation trusting the government to take care of us for so many years that I don't know of a time in my lifetime, and I'm 72 years old, when that basically wouldn't what we done. Trust them to take care of us. In my lifetime, we've seen so many things added on to, you know, food stamps, Medicaid, Medicare, HUD, all these been added to the the slave controllers' arsenal, if you will. And the people got become so used to being to obeying these so-called authorities, and because they're receiving their benefits, they don't want to lose them. Now, that's just the way it is, people. You don't have to like them and tell them the truth. And businesses as a whole, they started having to take licensing several years ago, and licensing permission to do what would otherwise be illegal. So businesses will lose their license and can't operate because government holds control of their license. People, this is slavery. This is total slavery. This is socialism at work. And the people in masks do not know that. If you don't believe me, look outside. Next time you go to the store, watch all the people wearing masks and afraid to say anything or do anything outside the realm of what's suggested by their caretakers. And that's what they become. They're our caretakers. Kathy, I don't want to get started. I'll start preaching here, but you go ahead.
Well, and that's actually something I've been trying to do, is really, you know, drive the message home to people that, you know, here in the United States, and the problem is, it starts really with the churches. And, you know,
Amen.
Recently heard a sermon myself that was talking about how, you know, we're supposed to follow the message of, you know, follow the order, so to speak, of our governor or whatever. And to me, it gets down to what was God really calling us to do. God's calling us to obey the governing authority. And if you look at our Declaration of Independence and our U.S. Constitution, and here in the state of Michigan, our state constitution, it's very clear that the source of authority is from we the people, that government is only instituted among men to protect the liberties that God gave us. And so to the extent that government does anything outside of that, that starts to infringe upon those God-given liberties, it's no longer acting, you know, with authority. It's just...
it's tyranny. It's tyranny.
It's tyranny, yeah.
But, so, you know, and nowhere in the Bible, nowhere in the Bible does it tell us to obey our government. No. Now, folks, Romans 13 doesn't say that unless it's righteous government. If they go outside the laws of God and demand things that are not God-given authority to them, we are not to obey them. If we do, we have committed idolatry. And our nation and our churches are full of idolaters right now. And I'll say one more thing here, Kathy, before, and then I'll turn you loose again. We don't have I'm going to say this very clearly. We have much more than a right to stand against this. We have a duty to God. Our duty is to God. What we call rights are blessings. He gives us blessings for doing His will. Our duty is to oppose tyranny and make sure that Christ alone is our head. When we obey man and shut down our businesses and cause the children to suffer and our to lose their homes or whatever it may be, we have disobeyed the law of God because He commanded me to provide for my own. If I don't, I deny the faith. And worse than infidel, I don't need permission from the state to feed my family. And every time we say we do, we have denied God's laws, and we become idolaters. Folks, get over that. If you make mad, that's too bad. We have become idolaters, and fearful people is a sign of a sinful people. I said a fearful people is a sign of a sinful people. Fear does not belong in a righteous person's hearts. So that I tell you, those who are scared are not living righteously. Now go on, Catherine, please. I'm sorry. I get excited about this because it makes me angry.
No, I agree. In fact, some of the very things I've been telling people over and over again, well, like you said, you know, in 2 Timothy 1-7, God did not give us that spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind.
That's right.
So
that's right.
we need to be able to use our knowledge of our government's foundations and the whole purpose of, you know, where does the power of government come from? And we really need to pay attention to that. So, you know, I tell people, let's look at our, you know, the U.S. Constitution preamble, that it's we, the people of the United States, in order to, among other things, establish justice and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution. So we, the people, created the very form of government that we are following today, and so we created that very Constitution to not only secure our liberties, but also to purposely restrain the government. And our state constitution, I don't know what your state constitution looks like, but our state constitution preamble is even better. It's simpler, and it gets right to the point. And it says, we the people of the state of Michigan, grateful to Almighty God for the blessings of freedom and earnestly desiring to secure these blessings undiminished to ourselves and our posterity, do hereby ordain and establish this Constitution. And so people need to recognize that, you know, it truly is a government of the people. It's something that I've heard many years, you know, and thinking, especially going to law school. Let's be honest. I don't know about any single law school, now that I have the right perspective and I can look back on it all, that truly teaches us about laws and about the Constitution.
That's true.
Law schools are there to teach you about this thing they like to call case law.
Statutory law.
Case law. Well, but case law doesn't exist. So statutes, you know, the actual things that are enacted by legislatures, that's one thing. And you have, you know, of course, our Constitution, which is the supreme law of the land, you know, in addition, of course, God's law. But, you know, we have, those are the things that as attorneys we should be learning, as people in law enforcement. They should be starting their education on what does the Constitution say.
Well, you know, one time, Catherine, the whole nation was set up under common law, which was God's law. All governments were based on common law, God's law. That's the way it worked. Murder was murder, and rape was rape, whatever, stealing. Today, it's all been maneuvered around under man's rules and laws. But I'll add this, too. A government that's going to be led by the people have better make sure that the people are virtuous and know what right and wrong is, or they will vote to themselves all manner of evil, and that's what we've done.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, and so I've really found that my calling in this, among other things, is to not just to fight against, you know, people, like you said, I think at the beginning of this segment here, that you're acknowledging that somebody who's doing the work that I'm doing is probably getting a ton of, you know, endless phone calls of people that want help, and they do. I get calls literally from people in other countries, let alone other states. I get calls from, you know, thousands upon thousands of people all over this state, and they want me to file this lawsuit or that, or they want me to help, you know, with their employer or their child's school or their medical provider or whatever the situation is. And it's a lot of injustice that I'm seeing, but I really look at more and more of what God's putting on my plate, it becomes clear to me I can't fix all that, not only because I'm just the one person, but what good is it going to do people if I come in and I fix this one situation in this one way for them at this one time? I need to be able to give them the tools to recognize it's we the people that really do hold the power here. Because if we expect courts to sort all of our problems out, and when the government goes wrong, you know, they're allowed to keep doing what they're doing unless the court specifically says they've done something wrong. No, we the people need to stand up en masse and say, you have gone wrong. You don't have the authority. We're not going to follow that. So my role is from, you know, here on forward is really truly trying to educate people. We're creating a Constitution app. We're creating, you know, even better things on our website to help people be educated. I'm going to be writing an annotated version of our state and federal constitutions, and even an audio book, and even one for children to understand the Constitution. There's a lot of things that we're going to be working on and truly trying to make sure people are educated, because it doesn't matter if we talk about, you know, whether it's the mask being, you know, masks being required, which is of course unconstitutional, or, you know, a mandated vaccine of any kind, but specifically, you know, with COVID-19, or contact tracing that they're doing, or, you know, closing businesses, or it's, you know, how they're messing around with elections, like we're seeing, of course, here in Michigan.
My gosh, yes. Yes.
All of it is something where, first of all, we shouldn't just look to a certain attorney or group of attorneys to fix it all. This is not a government of attorneys. It's a government of the people. So we need to get to a point where we are, as a group of people who have come together, we need to be able to find ways to hold our government accountable and continue to move on and go on with life and not sit there and wait for permission to exercise the rights that God already gave us. The government didn't give them to us. The Supreme Court didn't give them to us. A governor didn't give them to us. The president himself didn't give us any rights. God gave us the rights, and those government officials have zero right to take them away. And so,
well, again, if you look at it as a God-given duty, it's even worse that we give them up, because a right is something you can choose to exercise or not exercise. But if it's a God-given duty to those, especially call ourselves Christians, it's more than a right; it's a duty. We have to do these things according to the Word of God. That's exactly why so many Christians around the world are put in prison. That's why Paul was put in prison. Peter put in prison. They spoke against a king called Caesar, and people say, "Well, they're preaching another king called Jesus," because they didn't recognize Caesar's authority over their lives. That's going to change. If it changes, Sister Catherine, it's going to change because the Christians stand up and say, listen, Caesar has no authority in my life when it comes to taking care of my family and doing what I know is right under the duty of to my God, not to man. And that's also going to change it. But the churches as a whole are useless. They're led by panty-waisted pulpit pimps, and the men in the church are a bunch of milksop wimps. I mean, what else to say? They don't want to stand for anything. They may murmur and complain, but when it comes to taking a stand even for the unborn babies, they're very silent, aren't they?
Yes, they certainly are. And that's, again, one of those issues that, quite honestly, I had never truly looked at from from a constitutional perspective. You know, you can feel like, okay, this is wrong and it's something we need to do something about and we need to fight about it. But for me, I had somebody recently ask me if I could do a video explaining to people for a fundraiser, for a pregnancy resource center, the constitutional aspect of whether, you know, basically whether abortion is constitutional. And, of course, that sounds so simple to them because they think I just know, you know, all the aspects of the Constitution frontward and backward, and in any moment could just answer anything like that. I guess I appreciate the compliment, but it took me a lot of digging, and what I found was, you know, I already knew the answer was no, it's not constitutional for us to have abortion, it's murder, but how much more wrong is it because we have all these, you know, various types of ways that are there to protect people, including the unborn, from being, you know, persecuted from against in various ways. But, you know, you're mentioning that it's a duty. Well, yeah, we have a duty to stand for those who cannot stand for themselves.
Absolutely.
And Isaiah 1:17 says that we're supposed to seek justice and rebuke the oppressor.
Proverbs 24:11-12 says, if we don't stand for the innocent, then we're going to pay for it. The folks, that's in your Bible. Read for yourself. But you know what we're seeing here, though, again, Catherine, is a nation of people that tolerate this because they've taken the Constitution, the so-called law of the land, and twisted it and said women have a right to abortion, a constitutional right to abortion, or a constitutional right for homosexuals to get married. They've taken it and twisted it because the church is ignorant of their heritage, godly and otherwise. You go ahead.
Yes, no, exactly. In fact, it goes back to that whole concept where people think that, you know, we have, you know, we need a separation of church and state, and that our Constitution supposedly requires a separation of
Bible.
Church and state.
No, that's not Bible.
No,
it's not Constitution. It's not Constitution.
No, No, exactly. No, we have, you know, in our Declaration of Independence, it talks about how God is, you know, the source of it all and gives us our freedom. And in our U.S. Constitution, it talks about how, you know, we are just trying to secure the blessings of liberty. Again, blessings come from where? They come from God, you know. So, you know, we have all these different pieces. I love our state constitution. Again, I just think does a really great job, not only in the preamble, but later on, we have our Declaration of Rights comes first in our state constitution, and one of the very first sections says that every person shall be at liberty to worship God according to the dictates of his own conscience, recognizing again that it is God, you know, that's our the source of everything for us. And, you know, so you can have a situation where you're stopping the you know, an established religion. That doesn't mean that you need to deny the existence of God, or that government buildings should deny the existence of God, or that public schools should be allowed to deny the existence of God. In fact, we have another really cool piece of our state constitution that says religion, morality, and knowledge are necessary to good government and the happiness of mankind.
Amen.
I mean, that's... Isn't that, yeah. So,
I mean, well, you know, our state constitution actually reads, it's a paraphrase, that our constitution, both federal and state, cannot be made void even in an emergency. That's in our constitution. They cannot nullify the constitution, state or federal, under any emergency. That's in our state constitution. But our governor did anyway. He shut down business, made people stay home.
Yep.
That's what we're facing. Then, ignorance.
Yep. Yeah, and that's the thing, that it's the people really choosing to stay home. That, you know, if we all stand up and recognize what our rights are, if we recognize that, our state constitution, let alone the U.S. Constitution, does not allow the government to pass any kind of rules, regulations, or laws that impair our contracts, or, you know, that deny equal protection of laws, which is what's happening when they're picking and choosing which businesses are so-called essential, that they're not allowed to deprive us of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. What process was afforded to any of us at all while they are, you know, shutting things down? Or, you know, when you're trying to force all humans to wear masks at every single stage of their lives, and there has not been a single, you know, I haven't had any kind of day in court on that issue. I haven't had the right to have my fresh air taken away from me and stolen from me with any kind of trial. So we really need to wake up, and I think people are overcomplicating it. They don't understand.
They are.
Yeah, and so when it boils all down to, you know, our U.S. Constitution, of course, says that the U.S. Constitution is the supreme law of the land, says that all the judges in every state have to be bound by it, of course, and, you know, no state constitution and no state law can ever, you know, supersede it. But it goes on to say that all of our members of our, you know, our Congress and our state legislatures, our executive and judicial officers, they are bound by oath to support the Constitution.
And by the way, the federal cannot override the state either. Folks, hang on through the break. Back to the break, a lot more questions ask our guest, Catherine Henry, and your phone call if you want to talk to us at 844-769-2944.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
5 years ago, I had such chronic back pain that at one point I bought 3 mattresses within an 18-month period, hoping to relieve my lower back pain. I was only 40, and I hiked daily along with eating a fairly healthy diet. I was not overweight and didn't really have a reason for my back pain. As soon as I started using 3 sprays of Synergy One each morning, the pain immediately went away, and I've never had it again. I also use Synergy One before bed for a better night's sleep. Whenever my mom has back pain, I remind her to use Synergy One. Sure enough, she's all better after using it. I've probably given over 10 bottles away to friends with back pain. I take it when I travel and never miss a day.
Raising growth hormone levels to a more youthful level consistently results in deeper sleep, better energy and mood, fat loss, and the elimination of pain through the repair of injuries. Synergy One is guaranteed to improve the health of your body or your money back. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit synergisticuniverse.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here to tell you about our newest sponsor, a store food company that truly surpasses all the others for quality and flavor. Numana Doble Foods, the only Doble food manufacturer that has all their foods grown in the USA. They are GMO-free, have no artificial sweeteners, no high fructose corn syrup, no MSGs, no chemical preservatives, and no soy. They are simply the best Doble foods available for all the right reasons. Go to Numana.com or call 888-597-0775 and mention code Pastor Butch to get 10% off your merchandise. Again, Numana.com or call 888-597-0775. Mention code Pastor Butch for a 10% discount.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war.
All righty, folks, we're back here. We're talking to Catherine Henry, and I'm sure she'll give you her contact information after a while, maybe a website. This young lady, and I say young lady, folks, she is a young lady, is standing on the truth as she knows it and is not afraid to proclaim it to everybody that will listen. And she's being so sweet about it. She's being so polite. She's telling the truth in a way it should be done. But I have to tell you, people, our nation is destroyed because of ignorance. Thomas Jefferson said something along the lines of, an ignorant people can never be free. An ignorant people can never be free. It can't happen. Because if you don't know, and that your innate, I'll say rights, but I'll even say go further, duties to what God had created you, you're easily controlled. And fear is a controlling factor. And fear is a part of the worship service for Satan himself. Understand this. I'm not lying to you, folks. She mentioned 1 Timothy 1:7. We're not given the spirit of fear. If you got the spirit of fear, then you're serving the wrong God. We do not need to be afraid of a virus. My God is bigger than a virus. If it's my turn to die and I catch a virus and die, that's my Father's will. I will not walk in fear. Dying doesn't scare me, folks. Living's wearing me out, but dying doesn't scare me. I know where my eternity lies. And when you get that set in your heart, you don't fear what man says, or you don't fear what any kind of disease comes along. You take care of yourself best you understand. That's common sense. That's glory to God. But you don't walk in fear. And I would say this and move on. If you want to get an idea how many people will take the mark of the beast, look at those around you wearing a mask. They'll take the mark for the same reason, fear. And they can't buy and sell without it. So if they'll be conned into wearing a mask, which is unhealthy for them, no doubt about it, it's been proven. And even Fauci says it does do much good. Fauci said that on CNN. But they'll still wear it because they're afraid. That is the power and influence of a satanic power that these people are worshiping under, fear. Now, I'm going to shut up and let Catherine go on. Catherine, you've made several stands over the last several years. You run for office, like you said, and you weren't blessed to win. I mean, I don't know if it's a blessing or not. Maybe you've been cursed if you won. Who knows? I mean, that'd be a tough job. But you are still standing for the truth, and you've run into some confrontation lately, have you not?
Yes. Luckily, I was kind of I don't know, allowed to get used to it, I guess, if you will. I was actually blessed with the opportunity to argue in front of the Michigan Supreme Court in September against the governor's unconstitutional executive orders. Basically inserted myself into a case that was happening there, asking for the opportunity to argue on behalf of the people of the state of Michigan in defense of our U.S. and Michigan Constitution.
And how did that go? How did that go?
It went well. I was only one of three attorneys arguing against her orders, and I took a harder stance than the other two. But it was a wonderful opportunity, and in the end, the orders were essentially done. As of October 2nd, they finally, the court finally declared that what I had been arguing all along was in fact correct. So,
did the governor obey? Did the governor obey and withdraw her insane orders?
Of course not. But
I didn't think so.
No, she did several things. Most of those didn't quite pan out for her. So the one she's working on now is trying to utilize the Department of Health and Human Services to go under different state laws to do the same bad things to us. But unfortunately, though, the more recent trial or tribulation, I guess, that I've gone through kind of stems to right before the break, we were talking about the oath that we all must take when we serve in government. We have my dog is deathly afraid of storms, and it's storming here, so she just stormed
okay.
in my office. our U.S. Constitution and Article 6 says that, you know, whether you're in the state or state legislature or in Congress or you're in the executive branch or judicial branch, you are bound by the oath of office to support the U.S. Constitution. And our state constitution goes a little bit further and says that all officers, legislative, executive, or judicial, have to take the following oath or affirmation, which is to swear to uphold the U.S. and Michigan constitutions. And even better than that, we have a state law that says anyone who even works for, like is just employed by the state, has to take an oath of office to uphold the U.S. and Michigan Constitution. So,
I bet you $100 a donut that 99% of them have never read the Constitution.
Exactly.
Most of them don't even know.
Yep, most of them don't even know. Like, unfortunately, a lot of the public school teachers, for example, have no idea that they took an oath of office to uphold the U.S. and Michigan constitutions. So it's definitely going to be, an uphill battle to try to educate those who actually took the oath of office, but also those who they serve to, you know, let them know where those oaths are. And so with that in mind, I was on election day. I was out, I was actually working on a bunch of things at home, and I received a call from a volunteer. See, I recently, through, you know, as all this COVID chaos started to unravel, I was led to draft a constitutional amendment for the Michigan State Constitution, not to change how our government really functions or the way it's structured, but to strip away all the extra garbage and things that have been added throughout the years and add in the really obvious clarifications that have been sticking points for our governor or for, you know, our legislature during this time, so that they understand it's we the people that have the power, it's we the people that have our rights. And, you know, to clarify, like you mentioned with your constitution, that we too do not lose any kind of rights, or the government does not get any more power simply because you're in a state of emergency, right? The Constitution is what it is. So I wrote the constitutional amendment with that in mind. And so we have thousands of volunteers all across the state that have been out collecting signatures. And we knew Election Day was going to be the biggest time that we could get, all voters, essentially registered voters, in one place and be able to sign. And so we had people all over at the polls. And there's a state law here that you can be there, of course, because the U.S. and Michigan constitutions both allow you to do that. But you just have to be outside of 100 feet from the door. You know, so you're not impeding on people's ability to be able to sign or, you know, to be able to vote that day. And I got a call, a frantic call from one of my volunteers that a sheriff deputy was threatening to arrest her. And, of course, I was like, that's ludicrous. What could they possibly arrest you for? First of all, are you outside of the 100-foot mark? And she said, yes, I am. They even have it painted on the ground, and I'm nowhere near it. And she described her situation, and I said, yeah, it seems like you're doing everything right. So the deputy gets on the phone, and he starts arguing with me about what the law says, only I don't know what he's reading from, because he's certainly not reading the law that he's talking about. So I figured, you know what, I'll type up all the laws and the constitutional provisions, and I will go there to have a conversation face-to-face with him and get to the bottom of this. We'll be able to figure this out. And I had my six-and-a-half-year-old child in tow. Of course, she's homeschooled, so she's always with me. And we drove a half an hour down
So you're one of those kind of, you're one of those kind of radicals. You homeschool. You must be a radical. But anyway, go ahead.
Oh, I'm a radical in far more ways than that. yeah, so I you know, took her down there, and it's 60 degrees or so that day, and I said, well, we're going to go ahead and leave you in the car to do some of your schoolwork that you haven't finished yet today, and I'll help them get all set up, and then we'll, you know, go about our day. And, you know, 60 degrees, it's nice enough to just sit there. She doesn't need the heat on or anything, but it was a little breezy to have her sitting outside. So, anyway, she just sat in there. She could see me. I could, you know, I was standing, I don't know, 10 feet from my car. Well, anyway, it didn't take very long. And the sheriff's deputy decided that he wasn't there to have a conversation. He knew I was coming down to talk to him, but he apparently was never interested in actually having a conversation. Quite frankly, even reading any of the laws involved or the Constitution. And so at one point he brought out the township clerk and then said, well, the owner of the property says that she doesn't want you here, so you need to go, otherwise you're trespassing. And I said, who do you think the owner of township property is? Well, it's the clerk. It's the people that work there. No. We the people own this piece of land. To which he, honest to goodness, looked at me and said, well, are you really the one that pays to have the lawn mowed? And the guy standing next to me who had walked up to sign our petition said, actually, I do. I live here, and I pay taxes here, and
Amen.
Yes, I pay to have the lawn mowed. The deputy didn't understand, and he looked at us as though we were just being disrespectful, and, you know, like oftentimes my teenagers will act towards me, you know, where it's, they just don't get it. That's what he looked at us like, and so my volunteers were concerned and said, oh, you know, well, I guess we have to do this or do that. And I said, no, you don't. You have every right to be here. And so every single time, he ended up calling out two other deputies. So there were three grown men, not tiny men either, that all showed up to deal with little old me. And I'm 5'10", you know, I weigh like 165 pounds. So, I mean, I'm not tiny, but I'm not a giant by any stretch of the imagination. And I had a T-shirt that identified myself. It says, Restore Freedom with Catherine Henry. More freedom, less government. My car has stickers that say that. And that's what our petition, you know, the signs in the yard are that we had, you know, with us. Anyway, none of the three of them had any interest in talking about the Constitution and talking about the state law, even in talking about the township's resolution they claimed I was violating when I, you know, I said, no, the wording of this doesn't even say that I can't be here. In fact, it says I can. They didn't care. They didn't want to talk about any of it. And every time they said, well, are you going to leave? Because, you know, she's asked you to leave. Are you going to leave? I never actually said no. What I said is, I'd really like to talk about the law. I might consider leaving if you talk about the law. And at no point did they do that. And it didn't take very long at all before they very aggressively turned at one point to the three of them all at once ganged up on me, I guess, for lack of a better terminology, and very aggressively were physically putting me under arrest for trespassing on public property. So,
wow. And what? Obviously, they arrest you. What happened to your little girl, your little boy, whoever it was? What happened to the child?
That was my daughter.
What happened to her?
My daughter was with me. Well, she was in the car the whole time, and it was not a simple arrest. The three of them, very physically, aggressively, you know, when they first grabbed me, I had my phone streaming on YouTube so people could see what was happening, and they didn't even let me set it down on the table that was there. I was, you know, concerned, of course, that would break, because all the work I've been doing since the beginning of April has been free. I've been donating my time and my, you know, resources to fighting for freedom, so I didn't really want to have to pay for a phone I couldn't afford. Anyway, one of them finally at least grabbed it out of my hand, and then the three of them forcibly dragged me over to the vehicle, the law enforcement vehicle. And you know how in the TV shows they always show that the cop is putting the hand over the defendant's head before they put him into the vehicle? Yeah, three grown men means six hands, and not a single one of them could be bothered to cover my head so it wouldn't be hit on the vehicle. And the way, the manner in which they were forcing me into the vehicle, they were already hurting me. They were terribly hurting my arms, my whole body. And not only that, but, you know, and it looked like they were going to smash my head into this vehicle. And in fact, at one point, they literally physically, I'm begging for them, please let me sit down. Please don't hit my head. Please let me sit into the vehicle. They did not let me do that. They literally picked me up at one point by the legs and shoved me in and slammed the door shut. I have bruises all over my body. I have contusions. I actually had to go have my doctor take a look at me the very next day to make sure that I didn't have any, you know, broken bones. And it was all this. My six-year-old child was sitting in my car. Again, I had backed my vehicle into the area where we were parked because we were parked off from the parking lot, so we were out of the way completely. I was parked right next to the other person's vehicle. And the whole time, I had been standing maybe 10 feet from my car, so she was literally watching every single second of this transpire. She was seeing how three grown men, in her words, came out and attacked me and put me in chains. That's what she said to me later.
Wow. We got a call waiting in line. Gary, hang on a second. Wait a minute. We'll get Gary on the line in just a minute. But now, so you're arrested. Obviously, were you taken downtown and booked?
So they ended up not taking me anywhere. They gave me the charges. They ended up giving me the charges in the form of a citation and ordered me to leave the property. Otherwise, they were going to take me to jail. In fact, they told me that they didn't believe me. I had my child in the car with me, first of all. You can hear me screaming in the video that I do have a child, and they were just going to, you know, I guess leave her there. When they eventually figured out that I really did have a child in the vehicle, they came over and told me that they were going to have CPS come and take her away, that I wasn't allowed to call my husband to come and get her. They were going to tow my vehicle, and they're going to throw me in jail, and I wouldn't be able to vote. So it was, I was pretty scarred. I was pretty shaken up and traumatized by it. My daughter, of course, was traumatized. But I've done criminal defense. I've been a public defender in two different states. I've been an attorney in not only two different states. I'm also licensed in two federal district courts. I'm even licensed to practice law at the United States Supreme Court. And yet being treated in that fashion, I can tell you, is traumatizing. And
no
it should
doubt.
Not ever happen to anyone.
We're in our time so fast here. So very quickly, what came out of the case? What happened to the charges?
I have 2 days or so left to respond. They're still charging me.
Really? Let's take a quick phone call before we're out of town. Let's take a phone call from Arizona. Let's talk to Gary. Gary, come on in. You got about 1 minute, sir. Come right on in.
Hi, bitch. You know, usually when I call in, I talk about the slaughtering of infants, but I'm going to change it a little bit today to fit into the program. You know, anybody that's ever been in the service, and I'm sure that most people that hold public office, you know, have to take an oath to defend and support the Constitution and defend it against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. And we have a bunch of domestic criminals walking around, and nobody seems to really stand up against those. And that I admire this woman so much, you know, for putting herself on the line to try to defend what we all should be defending.
I agree.
Which is the country to which we live in.
I totally
agree. So, you know, I thank God for people like her, and I pray, you know, that we would all stand up and do what's right. Now, I would like to say something about this 40 days of repentance that we fasting and repenting that we did. By the looks of what I see going on today, I don't think there was much true repentance. Now, that's just what I see, which, I mean, it could be different. But how did we let this election and all of these people vote for Kamala Harris and for Joe Biden, who said, you know, that they were all for the slaughtering of babies all the way up and until the day of birth? So are we standing against the domestic terrorist that was in our country?
Of course not. Of course not. Now, if you read Ezekiel chapter 8, the last couple of verses, you'll find out that we provoked him to anger. He's not going to forgive us. I'm sorry about that, folks, in your Bible. Gary, I got to jump. A good call. Thanks for being there, brother. Thank you so much for being there. We're running out of time so fast. All right, Catherine, we're down about the last 5 or 6 minutes here. I'd like to wrap up what's going on now. What do you intend to do about this? Well, we got another caller online. Let's take Jan real quick. Jan, come on in. Got about 1 minute. Come on in,
hey.
Jan.
Hello. I agree with the other, with
Gary?
The guy before.
Yeah.
We did not have any true repentance, and she is fighting evil every day. But I want to know if she knows anything about this recall petition that's supposed to be going around for that governor, Michigan governor. How that's doing, how that's proceeding.
Okay, yeah, very, very good question. Do you know anything about that, Catherine?
I do. In fact, that day that I was talking about on Election Day, a lot of people were circulating both my petition to amend the state constitution and the recall petition. So they have about another month and a half left. They have 60 days to collect the signatures. They'll need 1.16 million signatures in order to get it on the ballot. But even if they do, it would not happen until the May ballot, and then the people of Michigan could vote to recall her or not. However, I was told today that one of our state representatives, Beau LaFave, actually introduced articles of impeachment finally, and we only need 56 state representatives to vote on it, and then we only need 4 Democrats to cross party lines to come on over in the Senate in order to get a conviction. So hopefully that will be happening soon.
Keep us posted on that, please. Jan, I hate to jump on you running out of time. Good call, Jan. The good question. Now, please, 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 Kathy, keep us posted on that, will you, please, okay? He was posting with them what comes down with that. All right. You got about 4 minutes. Wrap it up and tell us now what's going on now that you're still being charged. What's your next move?
Yeah, so they didn't know who they were messing with. I'll tell you that much. I don't take my freedom for granted, and I will definitely be responding in a way they never anticipated. Of course, using legal, you know, methods, but I'm not the kind of person that just checks all the boxes and then says, but please, 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 can I have my freedom? No. So I will be in the next few days filing my response with the court. I will be handling it that way. As soon as that is taken care of, which I anticipate will be quite soon, I will then also be filing a civil suit against each of those deputies, sheriff himself, the prosecuting attorney, and the clerk that was involved in this. And, you know, not because I think I'm, you know, seeking any kind of specific, you know, say dollar amount or any kind of other judgment in that regard, but the people of the state of Michigan need to know that they are safe in their state from those domestic terrorists. They need to know when government officials have gone rogue and they are no longer following the Constitution or, quite frankly, even the laws, that they are going to be held accountable and there will be something done about it. And if the government's not going to do something about it on their own, I will. So I won't stop until we get some sort of resolution on that. And, you know, if I can continue to encourage people all across the U.S., but certainly in Michigan, that my website is restorefreedomkh.com, and I would encourage people to take a look at it. We have the petition on there that I was talking about. In fact, the video of the incident, minus the parts where I was in the back of the vehicle, of course, I don't have the video of that at this point, but the rest of the video is all on the front page of that website so people can see exactly what I'm talking about. And there's all kinds of ways to get involved, even for people that don't live here. Our fight is far from over. Even when the petition itself is done, we have a lot of work to do. And so I do encourage and ask people to get involved and get themselves educated. Like I said, we'll have a lot of different things we're working on in terms of a constitutional app and a book and all kinds of things like that. So if people want to, you know, keep involved in watching what we're doing. I have a YouTube channel. I have that that website, Restore Freedom, K as in Catherine, H as in Henry.com. I'd love to be able to connect with people that way and help them out too.
All right. Well, Catherine, this has been a true pleasure to have you on here. It really has. I want to thank you more than I can even express for what you're doing. I know it's in Michigan, but what happens in Michigan can affect all of us. Obviously, that's true. Well, even with this fraud of election, that's very true. But I want to thank you for your stand and what you're trying to do. And I'd like to have you on again sometime, if you don't mind, to do a follow-up on the petition to remove the governor or the hearing in the Congress, and even about your case, if you don't mind, sometime in the future.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you let me know what becomes your case, what becomes of the petition or the impeachment bill. Let me know what happens. Get a hold of me, and we'll do this again sometime to discuss those in more detail. How would that be?
Sounds wonderful.
All right. And again, thank you. Thank you so much. And folks, it's restorefreedomkh.com. Is that right?
Yes.
Restorefreedomkh.com. Go ahead.
One thing, Psalm 56:11, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can man really do to me? I want people to remember that, because we need to trust in God. We need to not be afraid, and don't be worried about what man can do to you. Just stand up and do the right thing.
Amen. Well, like Christ said, they can kill your body, but they can't touch your soul, and that's what matters, right?
Right.
I mean, we're all going to die one day anyway, Catherine. We're all going to die. We may live to be 100, but we're going to die. So why would we fight to preserve our lives for another day or two or even 20 years and lose our souls? What's the point in it?
Yep.
That's very true.
Exactly.
And you tell your husband, too, God bless him for standing with you. And I mean that. It takes a strong team to do that. You tell him I said hello and God bless him.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Well, you're more than welcome. We'll be talking again. Now, you keep me posted, please, what's going on.
Absolutely.
Okay, sweetheart. Thanks for being with us. Folks, what can I say to add to that? I mean, courageous young woman, Catherine Henry. It's RestoreFreedomKH, like in CatherineHenry.com. Check it out. What can you add to that? This woman standing in the street in front of three sheriffs who don't even want to hear the law. They just want to bully. Tomorrow night we're going to have Dr. Mikovits on with us again, discussing what's going on with all the COVID insanity. And folks, this is only the beginning. This is only the beginning. I ask you in the name of Jesus to restore yourself in Christ, stand strong in the truth, and don't compromise. Your soul depends on it, and the freedom of your children and what's left of it depends on you also. Good night.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.